I want to do a piece over here for a verse. You can see the topic at the top of the page. So, he has in his Pirush and Chumash a very brief version of what he has in the collected writings, much more extensive. This is also printed. They took a sefer, they took the different things that he wrote in different places, and they put together in two volumes in Hebrew called Yesodos HaChinuch, the different foundational concepts for Chinuch, for the Mechana children. So he has a piece on Ben Tzora Mer. So, well, I put a lot in, took out some pages from it. Can't do all of it, but let's see what we can do over here. One piece I put it here from Yosef Wolf. Yosef Wolf was the head of the Yaakov of the Nebrach for many, many years. He was considered one of the top mechanchim, you know, people who got chinuch in his generation. The last piece is one page from Reb Chaim Friedlander. There's Mashkiach in Panovich Yeshiva Tamar of Dessler. So he has a sefer, Mesilos Chayim Bechinuch, also about Chinuch. So, from those three things, that was in to keep us busy for a little bit. Okay, so the point over here, which he starts with at the top over here, is the more sense in Sanhedrin, the Ben Saramar, the Hoyab Lanivr. There was not a Ben Tzora, there will not be a Ben Tzora. So Morris says, so why, if there's not going to be a Ben Tzora, so why the Torah, right? Dresh Mechalbel Skar. We want you to be dervish it, learn through it, and you'll get reward. So at one simplest level, it means, you know, the person wrote an extra section of the Torah, just was pushed, we didn't have enough to learn. And we were very bored. So Russia figured, okay, at least, you know, that, you know, we'll add another section here, what to learn. Not me stubborn, because there's plenty to do without this sugya that we need to add another one, just to dress with Kabul Skar. So obviously it doesn't mean that. It means that there are lessons here which are very significant. Even though the story itself will never take place, the lessons of the story are so significant, Rashi gave this parsha for the lessons, even though the story will never actually happen. So that's obviously what it means. Okay. Now, the Chazal say about the Ben Tzora Mer that Yom Zaka by Yom Chayiv. Chazal are worried about he's going to grow up and be Melatzim and Tzibriyas. So we could have thought, and just want to take it off the table as well. Right? So here we have an individual which the Torah is indicating that if we believe that it's a good chance he'll be rehabilitated, we're obviously not going to kill him. So we're pretty confident that he's not going to be rehabilitated, and therefore we're going to remove him from the world. So fine, remove him from the world to save all the people that he might destroy as he grows up. And this is a person which he's going to be the last one to be. The listim, you know, let's get listim straight. Listim meant that they killed people. They were highwaymen. They would rob people and kill them. So potentially he's going to kill many, many people. So that's remove him from the world to prevent the murder. That's not what the Torah doesn't say that. Torah says, let's remove him from this world, because Yom HaZakai, well, Yom HaZakai, let him be saved. We're saving him. In other words, which Pashi would say that to take away his life now, because we're worried about what's going to be in the future with somebody else, that's unfair to him. Hechatesi. But to take his life away from him now, because it's better for him, that we have a right to do. Okay. The logical order to read the sefer, the piece is in the order that he wrote it. But I'm not going to do that because I think there's some points which will be understood better when we work backwards. Okay. Turn the page. I guess it says 81 on the bottom. A dollar on top. Don't ask me how the numbers work. I have no idea how the numbers work. Okay, because of Rikia Leish Ben Sarer Murea, and then Shema Bekalenu, Bekalavivu, Bekalimai. So the pasuk starts off. There's a son which is a sorer umoret. Okay, and he doesn't listen to the kol aviv, the kol imo. Well, halam adirei hashama shel haharim. When the parents present him to the bezdin, they say inenu shemei bekoleinu zolam osavei. So kantura oifan hashkosa meichel esimoni hashkisus lo tikum. The indicators of a destruction over here to the point that it's not possible to rectify it is, in the words, inenu shemei bekoleinu zolam osavei. Okay, peruzin shal amilim sora marahu. So he's a sorer, means he's sore. He's deviating. He's deviating from the path that he should be doing, but not one time. That's a person who's a sore. He deviated. A sorer is one who deviates constantly. He's always going to be going off the path. Ben Masar of Lakaim is Mitzvah Sorob. He does not listen to what his parents are telling him. So Sarah just indicates that he's not doing something. We're not telling him what he is doing, just not listening. There's another word, moret. Chazal darshan the meal moret. Moret shemur la'atz v'derech acheres. And the Sifri says that he chooses a different derech. Sarah davri aviv moral davri imay. He doesn't listen to the father. He's actively going against his mother. Okay. So we see the Torah says the Sifri draws a parallel. He's not Shemei B'Kol Aviv, he's Mar Al Divrei Imay. He's not Shemei B'Kol Torah, he's Mar Al Divrei Dayanim. So what is the difference in Torah and Dayanim? Torah is the general path, and the Dayanim are the one who are going to give the direct decision in a specific scenario. So the role of the father is to create the general atmosphere in the home, and the role of the mother is to deal with the specific instances. So vis-a-vis the father, the problem is he's just not listening to the Torah. Vis-a-vis the mother was giving the specific directive in the specific scenario, he's actively going against that. Okay. Okay. Not listening and finding his own path. The lack of listening and the lack of just in general accepting the authority. That means that they've not been successful. But even so, if it doesn't express itself in this gluttonous elements. Okay. So he said a piece before, which we'll get back to. The child turns 30. The Chazal said the tkufa of the child becoming a tzarmara is only 3 months. From the time he turns 13 years old until he turns 13 years old in 3 months. That's it. If he starts this process later, he's not a ben tzarmara. Earlier, he's not a ben tzarmara. It's only if he has this issue in those 3 months. Those 3 months are very, very, obviously very sensitive months. And he says, you find that the psychologists tell you that that's the time when the child starts the different physical desires that start being mispatech in the child, etc. He says, Kenega, that the Torah is saying that there's also the time where the key of mitzvah starts then, because the child is starting to develop into a person who could have the sensitivity of truly understanding his responsibility. So in that kufa where he could, there's also a tremendous danger on the other side. And during that kufa, if he gets into the state of being ozel v'soyve, that's when we have problems. It's not enough that he's not listening. That's not where we're saying we have no hope. fact that he's not listening during that tkufa does not mean the Rumiyayish. If it gets to the point of being a Zoyla B'Soybe, then we have a problem. So what is that? Hamilu Zoyla Magdira Es Oifi Shurocha Mikol Nima Ruchnis Umusoris Umisayan Rakba Echol Toiv Benetach Basar Tehim. He likes a good piece of steak. That's his goal in life. The word Zoyla Mizilu Mishtamshim Kedavat Tzbi Ala Hargosha Muka Shal Boiz Klapi Acher. The word Zoyla is something which is considered cheap. It's considered valueless. And it's used in the context of denigration of something. He's Iluha. They made her Zol. They made her like, right? The woman, what everybody looks at is, you know, she's the promiscuous woman. Everybody looks down on her and says she's worthless. That's how Kol Mechabdeh, those who used to be Mechabdeh, are now he's Iluha. I'm touching Yoker Mizolo. Anigo the Mila Zolo who Yoker. Yoker is weighty, significant. Zol is light and significant. So Zol. Okay. Fine. Soive refers to person which is the second half of the whole paragraph. You can make a yoker out of a zol. He became so, his attitude towards himself is so like an animal that he's as insignificant and unimportant and a nothingness like an animal, and he expresses that by physically living like an animal. Person who becomes intoxicated to the point that he lost, he's not embarrassed to become intoxicated to the point that he is not really acting intelligently. Furthermore, the fiadin hargamis anar should ben sarim murder. Rakish is alabasove beli kol siba cheres. There's nothing which is giving it any reason other than just because he wants to indulge. He went to a Sudas mitzvah, and he fulfilled these conditions. The more it describes how much meat you have to eat, how much wine you have to drink, so he gets that, get the status, right? So he did it there, but even in that, in the context of a mitzvah purposes, that's he's not a Bensara Mar. It has to be just, the focus is just simply food for food's purpose. Okay. Now, if the halacha is, the Mor says, if he eats non-kosher food, he's not a Bensara Mar. Only if he's not going to kosher food.
Why?
If he eats trefa food, so, right?
Why?
Okay, right? Okay. The way he explains that in this paragraph over here. Well, let's see the next piece. Let's go back a step. The root of the problem, what Hirsch is going to get at, is this person is refusing to listen. And he's expressing that in this physical deep descent into physicality. What about a person is just, he doesn't like to listen, period. That's it. But it doesn't descend into physicality. So I would say, listen, if the root of the problem of the person is a sorer or marer, so why is Zoyla of a survey a condition?
Right.
The main problem is he's a sorer or marer. So we see from the term that that's not true. So the person eats treif, maybe his issue over there is that's a way to show his sorer or marer. Don't make me listen. Don't tell me what to do. Right? You have a teenager which, like, you know, says, listen, if you would not have said anything, I wouldn't have done it. I know it's bad for me. But now that you told me how to do it, I'm going to do it. Right? There's people like that, right? Some adults like that also. Right? Just bedavka. I don't want control over me. I don't like having control over me.
Right.
So therefore, even though I know it's bad for me, and I will not have done it, but now that you tell me not to, just bedavka to show you that you can't tell me what to do, I'm going to do it. Right? That's not a betzaramur. That's not a betzaramur. So in each shreif, we don't know what's pushing him. What's pushing him is, could be, he wants to show the Russians, don't tell him what to do. That's not the problem. That's not the problem. The problem is dafka when expressed in the Zohar Masechta, which means it's totally kosher, there's no mitzvah involved, he just simply has degenerated into a being that life is all about food. That's it. And I see no other thing on his horizon other than that. Now, the guy is Siruva Masurma Shmas Harov, Mudyashas Ha'uvda, Sheben Over Rak Al Divri Harov, but his parents he doesn't listen to. Shatzius Lahem Mavusis Mimitzvah Nativi Shelaben. Even though that's the normal relationship between a child and a parent, he doesn't do that. He listens to Kodesh Baruch Hu, but not to us. That's where the problem is. We would have said, Shapasha Yechomer Yoiser, it's worse. Ima ben and whoever law rock to be a heart of Ikeim Gamal de Retara. That's worse. Not only does he listen to his parents, doesn't listen to the Torah either. Yeah. Right? That's when he deserves to get punished. But the boy who listens to the Torah, but not to his parents, no. You know, it's bad, but I will do it okay. Mishum she'ein zeh simen muvak kol kach lishkisus musoris muchletes im ben tzara mura mis'anig mazola b'cholos asurim. Ki yomar she'yesh liris simen shashkisus shashkisus b'sami rak b'nigud muchlet d'ratzen har. Okay. So, the fascinating thought process. So here we have a child who's with Afka Makbid on the Heksher. Right? Good Heksher. But within the world of the good Heksher, so Rabban says, you know, you can't give a person an Einish without being over a law. What law was he, what mitzvah was he over that you get an Einish? So over the mitzvah of Kedoshim Tiyu, the Rabban says. Because right? The Rabban said back in Parshas Kedoshim, the mitzvah of Kedoshim Tiyu is not to be a Zoylo Basoyve. It's theoretically possible within the confines of Torah to be a person who spends his life eating only kosher food. Right? But his life is all about food. Comes the Torah says, Kedoshim Tiyu. The person should define his life as a life, an uplifted life of Kedusha. And this 13-year-old young man is not doing that. If his problem is Macholos Asuris, that's a different issue. It's not an issue of lacking Kedusha. He has an authority problem. The Ramban says that the problem over here wasn't that he has the person saying that he doesn't have an authority. That's not the issue that he has an authority problem, because the authority of the Torah he accepts. The problem is that within the realm of acceptable kosher, his life is all about food. Aleph. And Beis, the parents, which are the physical authority, he doesn't want to listen to. Now, so that's like a fascinating thing. Okay. Let's skip that. So now, see, he before he goes on to take some other points. In page Busishmus, okay. In the Saka Basiman Hayofyani Hibyoser, we look at the primary simon over here, which is Matiya Lachila Vashtiya Mugzamas, an extraordinary desire for eating and drinking. Nevochach, we can realize Shalitim Krivis most of the time. Right? Okay?
What does that mean?
If they're not doing their job, being mechanic appropriately, so that's where it came from. For example, Yeshtam Mishpachos, Hamakpidus Moed Al Oichel Toiv, Lashias Tipa Tova. Right? They're very careful to make sure they have good food and good drink. Right? The Hanoi in life is they get a good steak. That's what the conversation is about. And the father gets a special treat. The father gets the best. Okay? It's a fascinating thought. Right? That's the standard. You give the father the best food. So, but what's the message to the kids? The goal in life is to grow up to be the father gets the best food.
Right.
Right? The father says, yes, they have a key to be mechabel to give the best food. And the father says, I want to share with all my this nice food. Food's not important to me. The cover you gave me. I would like to share that I have with everybody else. This is the German Jew joke, and they're mocked by the cover. Right? The ruchni is, if that's the attitude, he's not going to make his focus in life. Ruchni is, umusoris. If the parents enjoy it, right? You know, the father, when nobody's looking at him, you know, he has that extra piece which nobody gets, you know, the extra geschmack piece that he puts away from himself. Nobody should see that he's getting it because he wants to be able to enjoy it himself. Nobody should not share it. What their message is that to the kid, right? You shouldn't be the source of generating this problem. And when a child does well, you give you a present, right? You get it, right? The reward for doing well is you get a good piece of cake, right? But don't think that you get to eat cake and not them. So then what's the message? You know, when we grow up there, that's where we're going to get the good stuff. Share with everybody, the children, the servants, what you eat, everybody else should eat. It's not just that the people, which are more cautious, deserve to get better food. You're putting food on a pedestal by doing that. Okay. You eat the limited food. They'll eat normally. They get their portion. Just like you get a portion. We're having a special meal. But do once in a while give him such a type of a meal. If you make it, they will never have it. The kid's dreaming about it. You have once in a while, but you don't make a big thing out of it. So, okay, you did it. My wife and I are not big restaurant people. You've already mentioned this to you. Like, you know, my wife's food is better than any restaurant they ever had anyway. That's why I want to go to a restaurant. And she's cheaper also.
It's a lot of work.
But
that's the reason everyone goes.
But so one time we were traveling somewhere in the New York area, there's this place which has a reputation of being very good with food. So my wife said she wants to go. So we went. She looks and says, nah. like this is the he said, you know, like this the Grace name, like it's not so good anyway. Like it's 90% the name. And it is real. I'm telling you, I went to this business with Gabal and Gabal. It probably wasn't. That's what you have to say, because this way, A, you have to make the other thing jealous, and B, you have to, the tempers will close. You can't admit that it didn't taste good, because the other thing I told you, it sounds like a Gabal and Gabal restaurant. So you're not cultured if you don't say it's a good restaurant. Right? I mean, I, you know, at the end of the day, I've never been like majorly this ball for most of the stuff. On the other hand, you don't want to make a Maim Genuvim. Maim Genuvim talk, if you can't have it, the nail becomes very exciting. Right? Remember, everyone had pointed out, Maim Genuvim Toku, water has no flavor. Water isn't sweet. Water is tasteless. But Maim Genuvim Toku, but once it's stolen, it's sweet. Once you can't have it, it's so powerful to get something you can't have that becomes so the stupidest thing in the world. But once you know the kids, it becomes like the focus of their desire. So don't make it's not something that's bad to have. So the male becomes like this. It's part of their concept of focus of negativity. You know, like we don't allow this, right? Like just don't do it. Like you have to make an announcement. Right? And once in a while you do the ones, you don't make any big fanfare, like now we're gonna have like pancakes, you know. Like I mean like you know, okay, you know. Like.
That's the only time we really see that though, that I can think of, that we allow something once in a while. Like I mean like you have like in Amsterdam they allow drugs so nobody cares for it. But we don't have that philosophy in other areas, they're like allowed sometimes.
Right? Well, like, it's not an Avera.
Like because it's not an Avera. Like it's a right. It's other culture be like, oh, allow for 1 year everybody can do whatever they want and then
I mean, we do see it, you know, we're talking with children which are having challenges. Sometimes that's the mahalach of chinuch that we do with them. It's, you know, you're making a decision for a long term decision, right? But that's good. Even that's when you're dealing with the area of aveira. So, I mean, my mother allowed shalom. She was a smoker. She came from a generation, you know.
Oh, the Avi was smoking.
Yeah. She had difficulty. I mean, eventually she moved into the nursing home. She couldn't smoke anymore. There'd be people with the air, oxygen, you know. And it doesn't mean she didn't try, you know. But I remember when I was a kid, I wanted to smoke. My mother smoked. I wanted to smoke also. So why should it only be for her, the good stuff? Yeah. So my mother, with her wisdom, gave me a cigarette. I was like 7 years old, remember. Of course, what I do, I choked that, I coughed horribly, I never had a desire for cigarettes. It's going after that.
Growing up in Montreal, they all gave us alcohol, beer. And you know what? Because of that, I never cared for it. So I don't think, here they're crazy about it. And growing up, all the old men, the old Holocaust survivor, 9-year-olds would come to me as a 10-year-old, give us beer at Chalashidus. And I don't think it was so bad. Ever since then, I never cared for it. I mean, I'll have drink it, but it was never like, I never grew up with beer being something like a big deal that I have to go out of my way to get.
Right.
Something, I think it's a lesson for some people here, but...
same
example. Like, I think that sometimes, I think it is a good mahalak. We don't use it enough. Sometimes it gets out of your system.
Right. So you have to know how to do it. But the point he says over here, but you know, we make, my mind cannot absorb. People will tell me, you know, that if they go to City X and they didn't see the restaurant, they haven't really seen the city. You know, I have lines like that. You know, because the part of the experience of the city is the restaurants. You know, food is food. Like that's a straight.
Chicago without Romanian, right?
You know, food is food. You know, yeah. It's a heck of tips of my alma to be able to function. You know, yes, there's a Muslim of food tastes good, so you thank Kodesh Baruch Hu for the good tasting food. But like, why are we putting on a pedestal? Right? Once in a while you go out, the person goes out to the restaurant. It's a nice to get a chance to get out of the pressure of having to make your own meals. Okay, I get that, but like because we want to have the experience, like you know, explain through the experience, like what's this great experience, you know.
But I think it's a brilliant mahal. So take them once they experience, they'll see, and then they'll be like, okay, it's not such a big deal. But if you just tell them it's not an experience, the kid will never...
You can't do that.
This idea of like allowing the person to see it's not that big a deal is not something we should choose more often.
The child is that the parents didn't raise him properly.
We're going to get there. Okay. Now. We're going to get there. Okay. Then he says, furthermore, in our society, he goes up to our society, he says, you know, whatever the kids are coming from, usually it's the parents, the root is in the parent. It's just the kids will expand it. You know, Moshe Zatzal said, you know, the people came to America and kept Shabbos, kept Torah mitzvahs, and said, kept questioning how difficult it is to be a Yid. Shmir says I'm a Yid. So the kid said, like, you know, the kid grew up and said, like, you know, so why should I be Moshe Nefesh? It was talking so hard. Mm-hmm. Like, commit to me that that's what I want to do. Right? So Moshe said that generation was talking, it was hard. And they're not saying it wasn't hard. The person who every Friday lost his job, we have no idea what that means. You know, the thought process of the message of, so that's the point that gets involved in over here. Now he goes to another point, page Tzadi Aleph. Okay. Yesh lahaska oid prat choshe b'yoyse medine ben tzara murder. I want to discuss another point over here. Hoya oviv roitza v'ima ena roitza, oviv ena roitza v'ima roitza, ena nasa ben tzara murder, ashi yushneim roitza. This only works on the parents or a team. They present themselves as one, with the same heart, the same foundations, etc. It says Chaleinu, it's singular. So they have the same voice. So the Morlans have the same voice. They also have the same height, and they have to look the same. The color of Bein and Shav, and Mara become the Bein and Shav, the Morah says. Now, Zeh Oimer. So he's saying a pshat over here. I'm not sure he means it's Pasha pshat, but it's more a little bit like the concept behind it. So here we said that the worst is it's never going to happen, because exactly when you have a set of parents who are exactly the same height, they look exactly the same and they have the same voice. Right? It's never going to happen. Right? But what's the point of the concept? Again, the point is George Kapelskar. The point of the voice over here, the curl of a person, Shema Kaleinu, right? Noyce says, what's a curl? Curl is not Dibur. It's the inner sound coming out of the body, which is then put into sounds. It's the voice, the power, the breath which comes out, which is then converted into sound. It's the inner being of the person coming out, the Goyen says. So sometimes a person has no way to express what he wants. He has no idea how to say it. Or he's in such pain, he's overwhelmed, he can't say it. That's curl. Curl is the inner being of the person calling out. So the curl of the father and the mother have to be the same curl.
Oh, that's interesting.
When it says that the height has to be the same, in the child's mind, they're of the same stature. My father's more chasha than my mother. Not of the same stature. No, they're the same height. Means the same stature. If you create a situation where the attitude of the kids is, yeah, mommy, you can't go over, but tata, you're scared of, you know. No. That's not a sermon anymore. Because they haven't created a home where chinuch is going to be effective, that it's not the child's fault. That you don't kill the child. Now, the more I'm talking about physical, you know, physical effect, because physical effect makes a difference. To some extent, you understand that the 6'1" boy has difficulty being scared of his 5'2" mother, right? Yeah, but his mother is, both his parents are like 6'3". Yeah, right? We understand that. Especially by children, because they still define things very physically. He's definitely one of those people who defines things physically, obviously. They both have to impact the child equally. So, yes, the main idea, you know, we can't create the physical, we can't guarantee that, but the message of the home has to be that there's a significant weight to both parents. As much as possible, both parents are affecting the children with the same type of impact. Any difference between the roshim of one or the other, although lahafriya lepula zachinuk, it undermines chinuk. Can ena muchichem ma'aser shel ben tzara al shechisus muchlatus? Then we can say, you know what? You know why he has this problem? Not because intrinsically there's something wrong with him. He wasn't trained well. So, well, let's find someone who could train him. So then you're not guaranteed that this person is somebody who's irreparable. If he didn't use a good trainer, so get a better trainer. But if we had the best training in the world and it didn't work, that means there's something wrong over here. Then we can't maintain him because we are guaranteed it's not going to work. Shukach onam akirim kikrin b'chinuch. So this is going to become a foundational point in chinuch. Shashvah shal al yaladim ha'avu em tzichon liyos shavim utzimim edei b'hechlet. They both have to be on the same page, and they both have the same authority and same effect. We know that's not the way it works. The father is the machped one, and the mother is the one who's soft, or vice versa. It says, wait till your father gets home, and he's going to punish you, right? The mother is a softer person. That's what she says. Means they're giving different approaches. Even worse is not just a question of their authority; it's a question of what do they hold as right and wrong. They have different. They have different standards of what is the Torah wants. Now, question is, so how does it work? But people's nature are not the same. So people's nature are not the same. They have to be equal. So what's supposed to happen now? Does the father give it to the mother, become softer? Or does the mother give it to the father, become harder? Like, what do you do? We got to solve this problem. You listen to me. Why are you the right one? Maybe the other one. Which one do you know is right? They both have to love the children equally. And they agree in how to approach chinuch. That's where it is. But they have to have an outside authority. The parents need an outside authority to decide which one is right. If we're going to try and figure it out between the two of us, so I think I'm right, and you think you're right. Right? So maybe I'm more scary, so they always listen to me. Is that necessarily right? It just means that I have a better way, a better negotiator. Right? sometimes negotiations are done with, different ways. But if the goal is Rasanah Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu, and we're willing to mevatel our rotzen for Kodesh Baruch Hu's rotzen, kasher har menalim es pula sachinim kahoygen, mabitim aleo kalavoydes ha-kodesh, skavlon lebitibulim b'vneyam l'kayim es divrei Torah lasses ha-yosher b'nei Hashem l'kecha. So once we have the Torah as the guide, will give us the answer. Then both sides will accept that answer. Now, that sounds very nice in theory. But how do you know what the Torah said? I told you my story about what I call the color war syndrome. I told you the story. Anyway, I'll tell you again. Right? So I'm sitting in basement in the summer. Tells the Yeshiva they have a camp in the summer called Camp Kol Torah. Very nice camp. And I'm sitting in basement learning over the summer, and I'm not proud of the camp, but all of a sudden, towards the end of the camp, they have color war. So all of a sudden, there's three, 15, 16-year-old boys, I don't know, 14-year-old boys, whatever it is, come running into the basement, looking for Rabbi Reingold. Okay. Somebody points them out to Rabbi Reingold. Rabbi Reingold, yeah, what can I do for you? the general of their team, the captain of their team for a Cold War, said them part of the, what, one of the things that they would do in camp, and they would, the two teams would be two different meters. You know, one team would be Zrizis, and one team would be Hispanonus. So it's the main thing, you know, and they had to find Chazals for their banners about the importance of Zrizis, importance of Hispanonus. So this is before the days of computers or whatever. All right, so they said, go ask around, they can help you find some Chazals about that point. Good. So I find them three Chazals about how important Zrizis is. Good. They run away. They run back to their... Half an hour later, another three boys coming in the basement more slowly because they're part of his bonus. Right? And looking for Rabbi Reingold. Right? Because their general also had this great idea. Ask Rabbi Reingold to help them find something. Good. So Reingold helps them find something. They go back to there. They're very happy. And I'm sitting like really confused. I just tell three Chazals about how important Jesus is. Three Chazals about how important his modernist is. So which one is it? And it's a very scary thought because let's say my natural inclination is the Jesus. I can bring you all the Chazals why Jesus is so important and never learn to be slow down a little bit and have his modernist. Because I have a Chazal to be a problem. It's Chazal. I don't know what's wrong. It's not me. It's not there. And the guys were like, you know, he's biting us. And Chazal, you know. Right? Rebaron told me, as I told Rebaron this story, he told me, he says, there was a fellow, when he was in the mirror, there was a fellow, like, he was like, the getting a decision out of him, you know, was like, you know, yeah, we'll think about it. We have to think about it. Thought, you know. You know, it was like, it's pulling teeth goes more quickly than, you know, than getting this, you know. So he goes to the Shmuz from Chaim Shalevitz, Parshas Vayechi, but Reuven, Pachas Kamayim Al Toyser. The main Nakuda is you have to have his bonus. You have to think before you do something. And Reuven didn't think. So he comes back and says, Chaim said, I'm right. The Shmuz said, he's bonus. I'm pretty sure I'm whining to that Shmuz. You know. So what's a scary thought? So a person can go through his whole life never fixing, realizing that he has a natural inclination to one way, which we do, and never realizing that that's not what life is about. Life is about a balance between two sides. Right? You know, I think one person once said, if you would give each one of the people's natural inclinations a letter in the alphabet, life is about alphabet soup. It's not about all A's in your soup. Right. Well, I'm an A. You know, A stands for, we'll make our meters. You know, Olive stands for Ava. I'm a big into love. You know, right? My alphabet has alphabet. It just has to have olives in it. That's what life is not about. Olives in the soup. It's about alphabets. We need a balance. Look at Rav Avinu. Rav Avinu was the Midas HaChesed. What were his nisyonos? Throw out Yishmael. Shecht his son. Right. His nisyonos were, can you do the other side when you have to? Yaakovinu's mina was emes. What is his nisoyon? Can you fool your father? Can you fool your brother? Right? You know, we would have written the Torah and said, listen, Yaakovinu's nisyonos should be an opportunity to show how much emes he does, right? And Rabbi his nisyonos would have been about how much chesed he does. That's not how it works. It doesn't mean we shouldn't take our personal strengths and expand them and use them, because that's really where we're going to get our strength from. But we have to be able to be the other side. But so it's a very scary. So Rudessa writes in one place, he has a mimer called Mabat to Emes. He says, look, it's a fascinating thought, because I'll say, Dabra is initial Chachamim, initial Nevi'im, Vilei Pirshua. Amah of Dorits. They asked the Chacham, and the Chacham said, we don't know. Which means the generation looked so good in their eyes, they had no way to explain why of Doritz. They asked the Nevi'im. We don't know. Ashapir Shur Kodesh Baruch Hu Ba'atzim, the Rosh came and explained. That's the Mora says, or that's what says. So in a second, you tell me that I'm living in the generation, and I'm wondering, am I doing the right thing? Is there any problems with what I'm doing that I need to correct? So I go to the Chacham, and he says, no, looks fine to me. I go to the Navi, he says, no, it's fine to me. And the Rosh Hashanah throws it out of the land. What do you want from me? I asked the rabbi, I asked the Navi, everything, this is fine. I did best I can. Why deserve to be punished? If nobody knew, it means vice versa, it looked good.
Yeah.
Right? says the answer is if you want to really, really find the emes, the Bresham promises you'll get the emes. That's what the Gemara is telling. That's what the Chazal are telling us. But we don't really want to find the emes. So if we're happy asking the rabbi who doesn't really understand exactly what the issue is. Or asking the Novi. What's built for me? Like, what do you want from me? I went to the Gadol HaDor. I have a chaver named Aaron Waldman. He's Reb Steinman's nephew. He one time said, he says, you know, people come to me asking me about certain things, but they're not willing to really discuss all the issues because they're embarrassed. Like, I don't want to come to Reb Steinman and tell, you know, ask an Eitzah, but explain to him, you know, I have an issue with somebody else. Says, yeah, what's really the real problem? The real problem is that I acted like such a horrible person to him. I'm not going to tell him, you know, I mean, you know, what Lashon Hara said about, you know, I'm not going to admit it. You know, I have a person that has with time issues. Like, what are you going to tell Reb Steinman exactly what your time issues are? He says, you know, the problem is, you go to the doctor, you said, doctor, please examine me, but don't take off my clothes. It doesn't work. He says, you want to get examined, you're going to have to take off your clothes. That's what Simon said to him. He said, I can go on some got a door. Yeah, but of course, but I didn't take off my clothes. So if you're really, really willing to get down to the teeth, you will find the answer. But the Chum weren't able to see it. Because they weren't able to get to the teeth because nobody let them. He says, you need to find that. So finding what the right way is in the Torah is going to be very hard because we're all going to find the Chazal which says that we're right. That's the scary part about it. Because, you know, we start with the attitude, of course we're right. You know, because, you know, the most of it is be gentle and laid back and calm and, you know. And all the Chazal is about that. The most important thing is, you know, showing that, you know, we'll show you, they have to learn to say about important authority. Right? So what is the Eitzah? Okay, so there's a piece over here from Chaim Friedlander. I really, the piece is about 8 pages long, but I just pushed it. Decided I can't do this. has a kayak called kayak of Lamida. Lamida is learning. Are we in a learning mode in our life? Right? You know, they have all these studies about, that the level of growth of learning things from, you know, during the childhood years, you know, they learn 35% new ideas every single year, right? You know, and the average adult from age 25 and onwards learns like 2% or something like that new every year, right? We stop learning, right? So we stop learning in, you know, just general knowledge. But what about learning about life? So a child learns about life, learns about life, learns about life, learns about life. An adult says, yeah, I got life. See, if we're in the motive that we're stuck, we know, then we'll find all the chazals why we're right. And that's it. If life is about absorbing new, so we're always on the lookout to absorb that there's more that I don't know. So I'm starting from the position of there's so much out there that I don't know, I need to know, so I can't be confident that I'm right. Because I'm not just... Yeah, again, if I'm confident that I'm right, and I find all the chazals that I'm right, I'm not really learning. I already know, I'm just finding sources. That's something I'm learning. You know, I already know the answer, just I want to see, I want to prove that I'm right. Yes, that's research. It's not learning. Learning means I'm pushing, I'm starting, like just like the child has no information about this, it's a clean slate, and we're bringing a whole new facet, a new dimension to the person. So an adult also, that's what life is about. There's so much out there which I have no idea about. I have no knowledge, prior understanding of it. I want to get it. Not necessarily about what, you know, how, what exactly is the level of the water level of the Congo River. I have no knowledge about it. Yes, that's not what I'm talking about. You know, but what is the true hadrach of life? I always want to know. Where Sassalante said, "Mekom alanda hiskalti." Right? He says, "There's ezo chacham alav mikol adam." The chacham is a person who's loving mikol adam. He's constantly learning. He says, how does it work? He says, you'll notice like this. A person walks into the room. The tailor will notice his clothing. The shoemaker will notice his shoes. Because what a person's business and what's important to them in life, that's what they're going to notice. A loymeid notices what there is to learn. That's a kumalam that he's got. If my goal in life is I realize there's so much that I don't understand about the world and about life and about what's right and what's wrong, and there's so much I can learn. Everybody has something to teach me. Because that is the defining element of life, is lamida. If you want your children to be people who listen, because they know there's so much to learn, you have to be parents which are learners. Right? And if the parents are done, so your wonderful child might say, you know what, I can also be done. Why does it only belong to adults? So it could also be, I'm a 13-year-old. Today I'm a man, it says in the rites of speech. So I'm a man. Men, don't listen. Right? So that's what the kid says. Right? He's not against the Torah. But the father says, excuse me. We got up in the shul. I said, today I'm a man, which means the definition of man is he doesn't listen to his wife. See, I don't listen to either of you. Right? You know, what do you want for the kid? Right? He says, unless the parents, so the only way the parents can be Shava, Bakol, Umar, Bakoyma, they can have the same call, is if they're always in a learning mode. Because then they want to know what does Kodesh Baruch Hu really want from them. They're not stuck in their position. Then they can come to a position where they both agree. Because they're both searching for what is the real amis. In this scenario, what is really the best way to deal with it? First, I promise you, you will find it if you want to find it. But if you're stuck in your attitude, you're not going to find an attack of the father will say this. I'm going to say that. From that position, you have no time on the kid. You can't kill the kid. Why? Because there's a hope that somewhere in his life he'll maybe find somebody who'll be able to, yes, give him the chinuch of learning. That's what a person, I think, that's the Kodesh Baruch Hu saying. See, he has a beautiful piece about this, the Kodesh of Lamida. Shmir al Kodesh Lamida. He said that's loch. It's the name of the you just hold on to that, because children have that. Instinctively. Children simply know they do not know a lot about the world. Yeah, they need, you know, they you know, male ego starts when they're 2 years old. They say, I know that. You know, I'm saying, you know, I admit that you did something wrong. No, like, you know, why not male ego? You know, 3 years old. You know, But that being said, they're inquisitive. They're curious. They realize there's something they don't understand, and they're asking questions. Why is this? And why is that? And why is it? So and somewhere along the way, they lose it. Wouldn't it be beautiful if the world didn't lose that? Imagine what the world would look like if people would constantly realize there's so much more that they don't know, they're not so smart, and there's so much. So the Alter Mekalim said that's why we refer to a Talmud Chacham as a Talmud Chacham. He said, oh, he's a Chacham. And actually, in Yiddish, a Chacham means, he's a Chacham. A Chacham means a fool. Yiddish. The person thinks he's so smart. The person thinks he's so smart is not so smart. That's the Yiddish usage of a chacham. But we refer to a Talmud chacham as a Talmud chacham. Because he's always in the learning mode. He's always ready to... Rishiva said, I think I told you this word. I wanted to say it when we spoke about Yiras Hashem. So the Mor says that Shima, the Mor says like this, that Shima Hamsuni Bitema, Nechemi Hamsuni, either Shima Hamsuni or Nechemi Hamsuni, had a shita that he was darshan every S in the Torah. Right. Every time the Torah wrote the word S, it's coming to the rabbis, right? And he started from Bereshis, and he went through all of the Torah. He goes all the way through all of the Torah, and he gets to Parshas Akev. It says, Es Hashem Lekech Otiru. He says, you can't remember anything with Kodesh Baruch Hu. So it must be the S and the Rabbis. So he was parish. He said, my hope shot is wrong. I mean, this is a lifetime of work. that the man did. So the Tzimin said, Rabbeinu, all of the essence that you darshan to now, what's going to be? He says, Kshem shekibalti skar ala drisha, kabal skar ala prisha. I'm going to be parish from that pshat. And I'm looking for the emes. I'm looking for my pshat. I'm looking for the emes. I realize it's wrong. Because if it's right, what are you going to do over here? If it doesn't fit over here, it doesn't fit anywhere. The whole thing is wrong. My shirim for the last 25 years are all wrong.
Wow.
Ashwa Rakiba Walimade, Ashem Lakachal, the Rabbi Tzimin Chachamim. So Rakifta asked, why couldn't Shimon Suni say such a pshat? That Ashem Rabbi Tzimin Chachamim. So Rashiba said, when Rekiva saw the godless of Shimon Amsuna that he could do such a thing, he realized, yes, you have a right to be marba as a shemakah fatira for doing a chacham. He took out his life's work and he just threw it down the drain. That's what Talmud Chacham is. Oh, as a shemakah fatira, now you can be marba such a person with a Kodesh Baruch. That's what Rashiba said. You know what that means? That his whole life he was in learning mode. So I had a mahalach, I thought it's right. I worked on it for 75 years, and I realized it's wrong. Okay, let's go to the next shot. Right? No? That's life. Right? It's a mind-boggling thing. My mother-in-law, Leah Shalom, was, you know, my father, you know, the Havla Mechaim, Starkstein. It's a Shilu Gazach, you know. My mother-in-law came from this beautiful Frum family. You know, the war started. She was 14 years old. Right, the time it got to where they were was 15, whatever. And those years, she was living without, you know, with no parents. Her mother passed away before the war. Her father was killed very shortly into the war. All of her older sisters were killed. Her older brother was taken to the Polish army. He was sent to Siberia. And she was living in the forest with the partisans. And by, you know, I mean, her nuclear family was gone. Right? So after the war, she wasn't from anymore. Her brother, who was already older, he was a Shiva man. So after the war, when they found each other, with that whole story, you know, he brought her back to, you know, to Frumkai. But it wasn't like, you know, this was the focus. You know, she was her moon and her Kodesh never lost it. Her Yirah Shemayim never lost it. So Baruch Hashem, they were zayicha to two sons and two daughters. Like, I mean, like, you know, frumsta. I'm sorry, you know, like, you know, you know. And they married Telzers, you know, like, you know. So I would come every Ben Zman, like, you know, and I would teach them the halacha, like, you know, mommy, you can't do that. Oh, I didn't ever know that. Thank you for telling me. You hear that? Is it gorgeous? Like, what do most people do? Like, what do you mean? I never heard that before in my life. Hey, don't tell me what to do. The reaction was, oh, okay. So what? Ellie said, what should I do? Said, okay, fine. That's it. My shrei had one horror. I said, remember, like, you know, he told me before we came Pesach, he said, I will arrange for Pesach any chumrah that you want. But you cannot tell mommy when he sit down and say that we can't use it. You tell me beforehand, because it's not nice to mommy. So tell me beforehand whatever you want, and we will make sure it's done. But it's not fair. She worked so hard, you cannot do that to her. Good, so we had to be careful how we did it. And I was like, you know, it's their affair. Right? But the Musig that, you know, they undertook so many halachas once they got stuck with me as a son-in-law. It was a shuddik. Right? I'm spoiled from it. So her friend says over my side, I'm just stop, it's not late. Her friend says over my side, he says, the difference between attitudes towards learning new mitzvahs. So he says there were two stories. One story was, a person was coming, set up by a family for Shabbos, Bali Tshuva, and nobody ever taught them the halacha Tfilas Kelim. So the person comes for Shabbos as a guest, he gives them the item, he says, I didn't title it. And I say, what's that? He says, well, the halacha you have to title. He says, I didn't title my Kelim. I have nothing else to title. So Erev Shabbos, this woman went, he says, you know, can you tell me what to do? Schlep the guest to the Kalim Mikvah and tumbled everything in our house. One story. Okay? Second story, Rabbi Left says over, he was in a shul, he gets up and he's teaching the halacha of the bar. And a person comes up and says, Rabbi, this was a halacha. My father wasn't makban in this. My grandfather wasn't makban in this. There's no such thing as bar. It's some chumah that you made up now. Right? He says, the two different attitudes towards learning a new halacha. Verish you make skila in Shulchan Aruch. Nah, can't be. You know, my shir one time said, he said, you know, it bothered him very much. I, you know, the old generation, like, you know, he's down in a certain shul sometimes, you know. There is the shul, the aluminium, right? So there was him with his aluminium and the shul with the aluminium. He says, why are you getting on the aluminium? He says, why aren't you getting on the aluminium? He says, my father didn't have his own dollar minimum. Right? So why should I have to have my own dollar minimum? So my sheriff said, do you live in the same house as your father lived in? The same size house as your father lived in? You upgrade your house. You use the same car as your father used? You upgrade your car. Why can't you upgrade your mitzvahs? Right? Like, what does that mean? My father didn't. Like, it's ridiculous. You know? You can do better. But that's a different attitude. So if we're in an attitude, we can always upgrade. Not just in mitzvahs, but that's, you know, but in at an understanding, and maybe I really misunderstood. Teach me. The kid will be like that also. That's I'm finished. The kid also be I'm finished. Then he's haka finished. Okay.